This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
On Joy Now, Transpositions, a safe place for trans communities, our friends and our allies to share our experiences. We'll discuss our issues, our challenges and our successes. We'll occasionally make you cry and hopefully we'll educate and inspire you. Welcome to Transpositions on Joy 94.9.
Welcome to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. I am Kurt, and I'm your host this evening. And I've got Megan in the studio co-hosting with me tonight. How are you, Megan?
Very good, Kurt. How are you tonight?
Very good. It's lovely to have you back.
Thank you.
Now, we spoke to you last week for a little bit, and you told us a little bit about voice feminization, which will be interesting to touch on tonight.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes.
And we also want to hear about your transitioning in the workplace story, which you went to work for the first time as Megan yesterday.
Yeah, I'm actually throwing my hands up in the air at the moment.
This is good news. This is very exciting.
Good news, sorry, because last week we didn't really allude to what was happening.
That's right.
I said, you have to come back and listen to. Yeah, it's happened. So
it's happened, yeah.
I'm finally Megan in the workplace.
Excellent. Well, we're looking forward to hearing all about that. We're also going to talk to Kelly Glennie from the ANSPATH, the new conference that they've got in Adelaide. And she's going to explain what the conference is about. And what's going on over there in Adelaide. Mm. So that's going to be interesting too.
That will be, actually.
And Megan, tonight we want to talk about your transition in the workplace.
Lovely.
So what do you actually do?
Well, I probably won't go too many specifics and those kinds of things, but I work as a technical specialist with a organisation. So I suppose my role is actually quite varied, but it's also very technical and engineering based as well. So, it kind of gets me busy. And
nice. So physically, it's like an office job.
Yeah, it's an office job. I have to sit on my fat backside.
And so, tell me about what, like, your first steps when, you know, you decided that you want to keep your job, but you also want to transition.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of was that first step that you took?
I held a conversation with my boss in December last year. I came out to her and said, I've got this problem. And she was actually, the reaction I actually got from her was actually amazing. She actually gave me a great big pat on the back and said, congratulations, I'm really happy for you. And this is like before I'd actually started on any sort of medical process of actually hormones and those kinds of things. But automatically I felt as though I had some support. I had someone who was in my corner and someone who's really important. I felt as though, okay, my boss is actually supporting me at this early point. And I hadn't actually been diagnosed with gender dysphoria or anything else like that by that stage, but I knew that there was, I knew.
You do. Yeah.
And it came to, I had another meeting with her in January this year, and it's when we were actually setting my performance objectives for the year. And I said, look, you know, there's one thing also that I've got, is one thing that I need to, that I'm going to have to work through as well, and that is I want to transition this year. And that was actually about the same time as what I started seeing my gender therapist, who then obviously after about four sessions diagnosed me with gender dysphoria and gave me the referral or the actual letter to my now GP, which then allowed me to commence on hormones and the lovely thing that estrogen is.
That's what I think about testosterone. It's lovely.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
And so you had yesterday was the day that you went to work as Megan for the first time.
Yes.
Now, I was interested in why you chose to do it like that, like with a bang, sort of come to work after or not during early transition?
Well, it was a bit of a... It didn't actually come as a bang. What happened in my case, I actually had a meeting with Human Resources way back in February, March. March 12, actually, I remember the date, because it's actually the day before I started on HRT.
Right.
And I actually met with them and said, look, this is what's happening. I travel a bit for work. I travel interstate quite often. And my HR rep at that stage, he was based in Sydney, which is also where my boss is based as well. Sat down in a meeting with him, and I was a bit anxious, a bit nervous, and sort of I was delaying this meeting as long as what I possibly could. But my boss was saying, yeah, you should have a meeting with HR and talk to them about it. I'm like, okay, all right, I'll have a chat. So I had a... We sat down and had a half-hour meeting with a HR consultant, and I said, look, this is what's going on. I've been diagnosed with gender dysphoria. I'm going to transition. I'm going to stay out on HRT, and I'm expecting plucking some sort of figure in the air and some sort of time frame in the air. I'm thinking maybe towards December, January, maybe-ish is kind of where I'm going to think about transitioning at work. Mm-hmm. In my case, what I found is a transition process probably actually happened a lot quicker than what I actually originally anticipated. And it wasn't as if I was forcing it or anything else like that. But in my case, the hormones work wonders on me quickly. And so my physical transition actually really happened relatively quickly. So I transitioned at work about 6.5 months on HRT. I remember probably about 2 or 3 months into HRT, I had people who are also trans as well, and they were looking at me and saying, I can't believe you haven't transitioned to work already. I'm like, well, no, I'm not ready to. But in my case, it was really happening relatively quickly. And it got to a stage where at work I had problems wearing men's shirts and men's trousers, and I said to my boss, look, I can't do this. This is really freaking me right out. I need to try and relax the dress code. And my boss, being the lovely lady that she was, she said, no problems, jeans and t-shirt, that's fine. So that was sort of, I started then dressing a lot more androgynously, and my look actually did start to change on the workplace. And people started asking questions, not directly to me, but to some of my colleagues and who I was actually out to. And yeah, it was like, well, no, we can't answer that. You have to talk to me about it, and then I could sort of tell them. But yeah, no one actually really approached me directly. I sort of sometimes heard some sort of off the cuff comments. Like at one stage, I was on a meeting somewhere, and someone was looking at my haircut and saying, "Oh, you've got a bob." I'm like, okay. It didn't say much to it, but yeah,
So, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
I think people might know that, you know, they can't really ask about it, because what if they're completely wrong and you're not transitioning or something, you know?
It's actually really interesting, because you get people sort of saying very subtle things, trying to fish for pieces of information. Mm-hmm. I've got one work colleague I've probably known for about 10 years, and he was sort of recounting a story about a time he was in Sydney on a road trip, and he went into a service station and he saw someone put a wig on with a dress, and it was actually someone who was cross-dressing and going to the service station and paying and coming back into the car and whipping off the wig, and off they went. But he started to recount that story to me, so I thought, it's like he's trying to sort of fish for information about what was going on. So
getting you to come clean.
Yeah, and probably a couple weeks later, I actually came out to him and said, yeah, this is what's going on.
Yeah. Did he have an aha moment?
It was actually by email, so I actually never got to see his response. But I sent him a great big long email saying, yeah, this is what's going on.
You're on Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and I'm Kurt, and I've got Megan in the studio. And Megan, you're a male-to-female trans woman.
Trans woman, yes.
Yes. So I'm just explaining that to anyone who's listening for the first time. And before, you did say HRT, and I just wanted to let everyone know that that meant hormone replacement therapy.
Exactly.
Nice.
The thing about being trans is this whole new language that we have of all these three-letter acronyms, or TLAs, once again, three-letter acronyms.
Nice.
But yeah, it's just like, and there's also other words and expressions that we use as well, such as stealth and this, that, and everything else. So it's a whole sort of language that you learn along the way.
And then it just we just become really used to it, don't we? Do you mind explaining what stealth means now that you've brought it up?
Oh, okay. Thanks, Kurt. You're such a lovely guy.
I know.
So, look, to go stealth, it's where you actually hide your past. So you actually don't go and sort of you're not openly coming out to the coming out to people and sort of saying, well, yeah, I used to be an opposite gender to what I'm presenting now. So you basically sort of go clandestinely sort of out into the world saying you don't have a past. You've always been, say in my case, always been female, although my brain's been female but body different. So you're not actually exposing your past or anything else like that, which is once again sort of like putting yourself back into denial again. So that's stealth.
It's a little bit like being ashamed to be gay or something. I don't think we should be ashamed to be transgender.
I don't think I'm ashamed of being trans at all. It's who I am.
Yeah, but certainly there are circumstances where you've got to be safe about who you come out to as a trans person.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, look, I actually went stealth too. I did TAFE last year and I was completely stealth at TAFE. And it was so much fun because they just treated me like a dude and they didn't know any better, which is exactly sort of what I wanted.
You are one of the dudes. You just blend.
Blend. Nice. It's funny that, you know, a lot of people try to stand out from other people, but I think that trans people try to blend in.
Well, for me, that's the ultimate gain. Ultimate goal. I just want to blend in. I just sort of want to go back into society and sort of assume my gender role, my affirmed gender role that is something that I've always should have been. That's pretty much my objective, whether I go stealth or not. I don't intend to openly go stealth. I'm sort of willing to admit, I used to be a guy. I used to have a different name, but that's an old name. It's someone who I actually don't associate with anymore. I'm not that person anymore.
I like to say it as, in my case, I presented as female because I think I've always been a guy, certainly in my brain, and it's just different presentation, really.
Yeah, it's like an outward display of your gender identity.
Yeah.
So my brain's always been female, but I can now allow myself to actually display physically who I am.
Excellent. Now going back to your adventure with transitioning in the workplace, I wondered how you told colleagues about pronouns and educating them on the fact that your physical appearance will be changing and you are female. How did you sort of educate people?
There's a couple of different ways in which I sort of went out and educated people. There's a couple of different intervals and different people that I've been working with at various different levels in terms of either working closely with them or working sort of distantly with them. So you have to have a unique approach for each unique sort of situation. And there's male work colleagues that I came out to well before I announced anything to anyone, just to let them know that, you know, I needed supporters who were male as well as I needed supporters who were female in the workplace. And it's picking the right people, and it's picking the people you've got a close working relationship with. And I remember one of my male colleagues, and I came out to him and said, look, I need to tell you something. And he sort of says, okay, what's going on? And by that stage, things were sort of physically changing with me. He was trying to sort of figure out what was going on. I said, he's one of the blokes. He's one of the lads.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Bit like you.
Thanks.
But I came out to him and said, look, I need to tell you something about me. And he said, okay, yeah, what is it? I said, well, you've been noticing some changes. He said, yeah, okay. I said to him, look, I don't identify with being male. And he takes a while and he sort of looks at me and says, what do you mean? And then I said, I identify with being female. And it took him about a couple of minutes. And he sort of looks at me and says, oh, okay, that's fine, whatever, and goes about his business. And it's different people that I work with have got different sort of needs and how I communicate to them and exactly what their requirements, well, not necessarily what their requirements are, but how I'd like to come out to them. Because when you're doing this, there's also a fair degree of anxiety that you've got with it, because you don't know what that person's reaction is going to be. They're either going to be good or it's going to be bad. Mm. Luckily, in my case, everyone I've sort of come out to in the workplace has been good, and I've had no negative reactions, and I'm actually quite shocked as how good it's actually been. I think I'm quite fortunate in that respect. Otherwise, which I've had to do it, is that through the organisation that I work for, we actually engage with an external consultant who's actually a psychologist and deals specifically with transgender psychology. Nice. And a part of the process of that, what they do is they also run an information session for the employees. So in my case, there was a session which was run in Melbourne and was also done as a teleconference to some colleagues in Sydney. And we did that about 2 weeks ago now, sort of 2 or 3 weeks ago now, and sort of informing people who I need to engage with, or managers and those kinds of people, saying, well, this is what's happening, this is why this person's changing, this is what it means, and then went through like a whole heap of different sort of scenarios of what does it mean to be gender, or how do you identify someone as being a gender. I think there was an analogy which is thrown, I actually wasn't in the session, but there was an example thrown, well, if you had a Martian come down to Earth and the Martian was told to get one person who was male and another person who's female and then try and pick the difference between the two, well, how would you go and do it? My understanding is lots of different people came up with different ideas as to what constitutes as being male and what constitutes as being female. But it's those different things which makes people think about what gender actually is and how we identify with gender and those kinds of things. So that was like a really good workshop for those people to sort of think about and then communicate to the rest of their people who reported through to them as to exactly what was going on with me or what it actually meant and those kinds of things. So
It's sort of something that a lot of people who don't question their gender don't even think about gender.
Which brings about another term that we have within the transgender community was cisgender. And someone who's cisgender is someone whose birth sex also aligns with their gender. So a male identifies with being male. That's their gender identity. So they've got the male organs as well as their brain saying, yeah, I'm male. Or same with a woman. She's got a woman's brain, woman's bits. So be it.
Happy with that.
Yeah. Whereas when you're transgender, well, like, you know, you've got one bit, but your brain's sort of saying, oh, hang on, no, that's not quite right.
It's funny that you mentioned bits. Because I was wondering what you call bits pre-surgery. So for me, for an FTM, female to male, you know, my chest, I haven't had chest surgery, so I certainly wouldn't call them boobs. I'd call them maybe pecs or my chest.
Oh, okay.
And I wondered if it was the same for MTFs, male to female.
Oh, gee, well, look, you know, different bits. I don't really give them names. I think boobs are boobs, you know. Yeah, I like boobs, yeah. They're good. other bits, I don't really generally refer to that other bit. Although my association with it is it's an extra piece of skin, I suppose.
Yeah.
But that's sort of, yeah, I don't really think about that too much, to be honest.
Well, I'm interested in what everyone else, if anyone's got any names for their bits. I call mine junk sometimes. So I just had to throw that little talk about bits in there. Now back to your workplace transition. Mm-hmm. What have you had any silly questions when you're coming out to people? Did they ask really inappropriate questions?
No one directly at work actually came out with the inappropriate question. Actually, but I do tell a lie with that. There is one colleague, the male colleague I was alluding to earlier on before, he asked the question. And
what's the question? Is it about surgery?
It's about bottom surgery, yes. Lower surgery.
Yes, I have been asked that question.
Yeah, and it's actually a really inappropriate question to ask. And I said, and the question I turned around to him, I said, well, are you circumcised or not?
Nice. And smooth, Megan.
Yeah, I'm really smooth. But it's the same sort of thing, right? I was like, well, hang on. You're asking me something which is quite personal, and it's called private parts for private a reason parts. Because it's private. So I thought, well, okay, let's turn it around and actually ask him the same question and sort of put him back on the spot and say, well, hang on, yeah, oh, yeah, it's a really bad thing to ask. So that's probably about the only occasion I can think of where I've been asked the inappropriate question by a work colleague.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Mm. You know, I've only been asked, that's sort of the only inappropriate question that I've been asked is about bottom surgery, which is lower surgery.
It is what it is.
Gender reassignment surgery.
Yeah, or what's a gender confirmation, GCS, and there's all these different names.
Gender affirmation.
Gender affirmations. Mm. Yeah. It means the same thing. See, though?
Yep. It means surgery.
Surgery.
Now, back to workplace transitioning again. Mm-hmm. Have you faced any discrimination or any sort of things that weren't said out loud but felt a little bit wrong?
No. Not that I can recall. There were things that I noticed over time where some people gave me sort of strange looks, but that was about all that I really did notice.
Okay.
I haven't noticed any direct discrimination or any aside, or even indirect. Some people sort of ask questions with regards to changing appearance and those kinds of things, but I hadn't really noticed anything directly. There were some times when someone might say something which would then get back to my manager. My manager would then sort of communicate out to the rest of the organisation and say, yep, okay, that person's presentation is changing. So what?
Mm.
Move on.
Nice.
So once again, just having that right support from my manager, she was absolutely amazing, really.
Yeah.
I was quite fortunate in that respect.
Mm, that's great.
I probably think also one of the other things which is important as well is if you're going to go down the path of transition, expect that possibly you could lose absolutely everything. But it's important to learn what protection mechanisms there are for yourself in terms of legislative protections, what your company's policy is with regards to diversity, gender inclusion, and those kinds of things. It's really important that you arm yourself and educate yourself with what's actually involved with transition within your workplace, because if you've got a workplace which doesn't support it or doesn't have those right policies in place, you could have a problem, you could have issues, even though you're protected legally. You still could have some issues.
Mm, I actually was shocked to find out that discrimination isn't illegal in all companies or organisations. Mm. So definitely look up legislative material.
Yeah, look, in Victoria, Transgender Victoria has actually done some work with the Victorian Human Rights and Equal Opportunities Commission. There's actually some really good information they've got through there. And actually, there's some paperwork. There's actually a pamphlet which is for employers. And I actually gave that to my boss a while ago. And I said, look, I've got this. I want to give it to you. And she went and read through and she said, that's amazing. There's lots of really good information there, and actually talks about gender dysphoria and all these different things and legal protections and things such as being able to use bathrooms within the workplace and all these different types of things and discrimination, both indirect and direct, vilification, all these different things are clearly laid out in this pamphlet. And it's really very interesting, and it's actually a really good eye-opener. And you want to actually, if you are going to transition the workplace, you actually want to read through this yourself, just so you're aware and you know exactly how you can actually go and protect yourself in the workplace legally. Yeah.
Mm. So that was Transgender Victoria.
Victorian. It's actually through the Victorian Equal Opportunities and Commission. Victorian Equal Opportunities and Human Rights Commission.
Okay.
So it's actually, I believe, it's actually a guide which is actually there's a piece of legislation, and so I forget which actually act it is, but there's also different states have got different acts as well, but there's also federally, there's a Sex Discrimination Act as well, which also once again provides coverage for people who have different genders or gender variant, gender non-conforming.
You're on Transpositions on Joy 94.9 and you're with Kurt, and I've got Megan in the studio, and we're coming up to an interview with Kelly Glanney. She's from Anne's Path, and we wanted to talk to her about the third International Biennial Conference, which is happening in Adelaide. I have the date somewhere. Kelly, are you there?
I certainly am, Kurt. Good evening.
Good evening. Can you give us the dates of when the conference is running?
It's this coming weekend, Saturday the 4th of October to Monday the 6th in Adelaide. It's a long weekend.
Yep, excellent. And so can you tell us a little bit about what ANSPATH is about? So ANSPATH stands for Australian and New Zealand Professional Association for Transgender Health.
Yes, certainly. Just to clarify, I'm not actually from ANSPATH.
Okay, sorry.
The Carmen Rupe Memorial Trust in Sydney. I'm also an associate director with Sydney Mardi Gras. And I was asked to speak at ANSPATH conference. And once I got to know them, I got involved in helping to produce the conference as well, because I think this is a fairly amazing opportunity. Getting back to your question, yes, ANSPATH is the Australian and New Zealand Professional Association for Transgender Health. They were formed in 2009 underneath WPATH, which is the World Professional Association for Transgender Health. And ANSPATH have taken up the challenge of doing this work within our region.
Right. So is this the first transgender health conference in Australia?
This is actually ANSPATH's third international biennial conference. They have them every couple of years. But this is the first time that ANSPATH have actually opened up the platform to transgendered people totally. There are 22 trans-identified people presenting at this conference. At previous conferences, their presenters came from within their own membership. ANSPATH membership's made up of surgeons, voice therapists, mental health professionals, people who work in a professional context with the trans community.
Excellent. So what are the aims of the conference?
Well, there's many aims. It's over 3 days. There's all kinds of content. But the major aims was to promote excellence in clinical service, to strengthen our gender diverse community, and to enhance the relationship between the community and the professionals who we are so reliant on for so many different aspects. We were just listening to this wonderful story of people now transitioning on the job. I mean, I transitioned in the late 80s, and I can tell you it is amazing to hear how much has changed in that time, but we are still very much reliant upon the services of health professionals and others to help us through our journey. And that's why it's really important that we're engaging with these people at the conference over the weekend.
I suppose probably, Kelly, from my perspective, sort of transitioning in the workplace, obviously I've got to pay a bit of respect for people sort of such as yourself who did it years ago and sort of stood up the way. But I suppose I'm trying to figure out and trying to understand as to why there's now more and more people who actually are coming out and are actually transitioning, and also trying to understand also as to how ANSPATH can actually also help people who are transitioning.
Well, this was actually something the 7:30 report on the ABC did a story on the conference a few weeks ago, and Rob Lyons, who is a psychiatrist and president of ANSPATH, was talking about this. The huge exponential growth in the numbers of transgender people who are coming out. We've recently had a survey over in New Zealand of high school students which show 1.2% of all high school students in New Zealand are now identifying as trans. And so more than ever before, people are feeling comfortable to come out and to contemplate transitioning. And because of that, we need a lot more of these services to help people process what they need to do individually in their lives to work through all of that. And it's a bit of a problem in Australia. The clinic down in Melbourne, Dr. Michelle Telfer was in the media recently saying that they've just had massive growth in demand. The Gender Centre here in Sydney is booked up for months with appointments. And so part of the remit of this conference is creating a conversation that will ensure that we get much more of this government funding, that we get much more support from corporate Australia to build the social infrastructure that we're going to need.
Yeah, I probably think that's also, from my perspective as to someone who's transitioning in terms of government sort of support, is you know, there's a huge financial cost for me who's transitioning. It's not something that I consciously wanted to do. It's something which I had to do because I couldn't sort of live as to someone who I'm not. So being able to be supported through all the different types of surgeries that I might sort of embark upon or need and those kinds of things, but also access to surgeons who do specialise with transgender surgery. And it's not only just things such as SRS or GCS or whatever you want to call it, but things such as FFS and whatnot. And it's just trying to get access to surgeons who do that work, and also trying to fund some of that surgery can be quite expensive. And life is difficult when you're trying to sort of make those ends meet and trying to be able to sort of fund different surgeries.
Absolutely. And I mean, back in the 80s, you had a clinic in Adelaide that was doing surgery, and we've actually had a withdrawal of service over the last 20 years in Australia, and this is something that we're hoping that we'll be able to have a conversation about at the conference and then form strategic alliances with members of ANSPATH to approach government and get them to address this, because most people nowadays in Australia are going to Thailand or Mexico for surgery. People are going overseas, and at huge expense and at huge personal risk because their insurance doesn't cover them. Australian health insurance won't pay for these procedures overseas. So it's a really complex landscape, and that's why a conference of this kind is so important, because it brings together people not just from across our country, but some of the leading experts in this field from around the world to share ideas and insights and perspectives, and hopefully we can all upskill and learn as part of the process and work out how we can do this better in the future.
So, Kelly, where do the funds for this conference come from? Because I understand there was something about an anonymous angel who was donating a substantial amount of money.
Oh, but that was for the scholarships. The ANSPATH have actually paid to stage the conference themselves.
Okay.
Mostly just out of the private pockets of some of the members. Obviously, they're a small professional association, so they don't generate huge amounts of income. But they actually worked with the Department of Social Inclusion in South Australia, with us here in New South Wales, to start putting together scholarships to get trans-identified people from across Australia and New Zealand to the conference. In some states, we didn't get as much traction, and so we went looking for corporate sponsorship, and we spoke to private benefactors, and a very generous individual donated $10,000, which allowed us to create these ANSPATH Angel Scholarships, which covered people's conference fees and up to $400 towards their travel and accommodation. And this is one of the things that's helping make this the most trans-inclusive conference ever, because dozens of people have got scholarships. We've got 22 trans-identified people actually speaking at the conference. So it's pretty exciting. This is the first step, and hopefully there will be other ones in the future. But this is about bringing people together and building the infrastructure we need to tackle these myriad challenges that we still face.
Excellent. So if people want to get involved, what can they do?
Well, unfortunately, at this stage, the conference registrations have closed off. If anyone's going to be in Adelaide, we're having a big community social event on Sunday night at Nexus called Transcendence, which the fabulous Paige Phoenix from Melbourne will be coming and performing with us. But ongoing, one of the things that's happening at ANSPATH's AGM is they're putting a motion to open up their membership to transgendered people. This has already happened at WPATH on the international level. And so after the conference, hopefully there'll be an opportunity for more trans people to get involved in the work that ANSPATH does and benefit from the professional relationships and the knowledge and insight that they have. Something I'm quite passionate about is that the more people we can get, the more brains we get looking at the problems that we face, the more easily we're going to find solutions. So I'm a big fan of building alliances and looking for allies wherever we can.
That's great. Well, great work. We love the work that you do. And, yeah, the ANZPATH conference will be very big and it's very exciting. And if people want to go to the website, it's ANZPATH.org. So www.anzpath.org. Thank you so much for coming on the show tonight, Kelly.
Not lovely to speak to you, and all the very best to all the crew at Joy FM. Thank you.
Thanks, Kelly.
Good night.
You're on Transpositions on Joy 94.9. And I am Kurt, and I'm hosting tonight with Megan in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And Megan, we were talking about your workplace transition, and I wanted to ask you about what you did when you needed to go to the bathroom.
I went to the bathroom.
Good on you.
But, yeah, and, look, you know, I got to a certain stage sort of on my transition, and, look, you know, those who actually have gone – who have gone male to female, and sort of one of the medications you need to take is a testosterone blocker. And there's one particular blocker that I'm actually on, and it actually makes you need to go to the bathroom a lot more often than what you normally would or would have before in the past. So access to a bathroom is pretty important. So it got to a stage sort of during my transition, I no longer felt comfortable using a male bathroom. I thought it was just totally inappropriate. And it's sort of really played on my anxiety. It's just like, I know I'm not supposed to be in here. I also know I'm not openly out at work and I can't go use the women's, so what do I do? So for me, the only thing I could do is go and use a disabled toilet. Now, I know I'm not disabled. Some people might say otherwise, being a bit tongue-in-cheek. But, you know, for me, the only option I had was to use the unisex or the disabled bathroom facilities. But they were locked constantly to try and save on cleaning costs. So for me to try and gain access to these bathrooms was an interesting little exercise. But in the end, I got my own little key to my own little private throne room, so to speak, which was handy. But still, at the end of the day, it's just like it was almost like an exercise in futility to try and get access to this bathroom. And I actually had to out myself to someone at work or to one of our facilities people saying, look, I'm trans, I need access to a toilet, I need the key now. It's just like it's degrading that I have to go outside into a different building, go and use their bathroom facilities because I don't feel that I can use the men's because I don't quite look entirely male and I'm sort of not quite entirely female. I'm not openly out at work. So I need to use a toilet. Give me a key, please.
It takes over your mind when you need to go to the bathroom and you've got this dilemma, which bathroom to use, and it just you can't think of anything else.
Yeah, exactly. It's just mad. It's absolutely crazy. It's just like I can't use a man's because I just didn't feel comfortable. And when you've got your brain sort of saying, you need to go, you need to go, you need to go, you need to go, and your body's starting to go, yeah, okay, it needs to go.
Yeah, it needs to go. You sort of want to go anywhere but the bathrooms. It's kind of like outside would be easier than this.
Exactly. Although sort of when you're working in the city itself, it's pretty hard to go outside sort of around the street corner because
not many trees around.
There's no trees. Yeah. So, yeah, it's almost getting back to like a bodily function kind of thing. It's like you've got to be able to do it. So you need access to a facility that you can go and use. So unfortunately, it's one of those, yeah.
It's one of those tough situations, and it's the same with public bathrooms, isn't it?
Yeah. I had to go and use a public change room last week. I was actually in Canberra I had a week off before transitioning at work, and I thought I'd go for a swim. And, you know, I sort of went sort of into this swim pool not knowing exactly what change room facilities were because I already had my gear on. And in the end, when I got out, I thought, oh, hang on, there's a men's there, there's a women's there, what do I do? And I had some people with me who just sort of jokingly were referring to me my old name, which not that I really like that. But it's like, well, I had one of the lifeguards looking at me, trying to figure me out, and it's just like I went into the female change rooms to get changed and everything else like that because there wasn't a unisex one, and she actually followed me in. I was just like, oh, God, you know, I felt really quite self-conscious going in there. But it's just like, well, yeah, it is what it is.
Mm. Once you're in there, you can go into a cubicle.
I went into a cubicle, had my shower, got changed in the cubicle and went straight out. Yeah, I was just like, I had my blinkers on. I just wasn't looking. I just went and did my thing. Yeah. Got in and got out, and that was it.
Yeah, if you're not acting sus, then there's nothing to be sus.
Yeah,
about.
No, not like that. No, I'm not that type of person.
No. So apart from which bathroom to use, have you run into any more challenges with transitioning in the workplace?
Now, look, I think probably for me the biggest issue I had was trying to gain access to the bathroom. My experiences, we're quite positive. I've heard stories of other people, both here in Melbourne, other parts of Australia, and also different parts of the world with different experiences with their transition at work. And, you know, there's people who basically leave their jobs to transition at a different workplace. And for me, that was something which I also considered as well. I know that I'm legally protected. I know that I've worked in an open environment which supported me and everything else like that. But with my own internal anxiety, with all that thing going on, I'm putting everything on the line. You know, this is my job. This is what I do. This is my income and whatnot. Is it easier? I just go and find another job somewhere else and just go present straight as Megan instead as my old self, just to make it easier. And I thought, well, look, either I can run away and go and hide, or I can face up to the challenge and say, okay, yeah, I'm brave. I can do this. This is me. Why try and disguise who I am and not being up front? I should just be authentic and have the confidence and have the guts and, dare I say, have the balls to go and do it and actually, you know, to go through a transition in the workplace and just be genuine as to this is who I am.
Mm. You were saying before that people were telling you you were brave and everything like that, but you said to me that that's just what you needed to do.
This is what I needed to do. And it's just like, I feel for me, the hardest part's already been done. For me, the hardest part was self-acceptance and, yeah, okay, I'm trans, and just accepting myself for who I am, knowing that this is a difficult thing, yeah, okay, that was the hardest part. There's also other things personally which are very, very difficult as well, but financial impacts and costs and those kinds of things, yes, difficult. The rest of this is actually a lot easier. Yeah, there's anxiety associated with workplace transition. I think probably for me that was the biggest thing. Well, not the biggest thing, but it was there. But everything sort of leading up to this point was difficult. Moving on, going through the process, accepting, yeah, this is who I am. That's actually a lot easier. Mm. The workplace, yeah, a little bit of anxiety, but yeah, suck it up, princess. Move on.
But it's so much excitement that you now finally get to be yourself.
It is.
You get to breathe that sigh of relief.
Yeah, I'm not sort of being a dual person, I'm being one person.
Yep, which is your person, that's you.
That's me.
And that's great to hear that it's all gone so smoothly for you, Megan.
It's gone. Not too bad.
That's good. You're on Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and it has come to the end of the show tonight. It has been great talking to you, Megan, about your transitioning in the workplace stories.
Thank you, Kurt.
And now you can jump on the website and find podcasts that are put up by lovely Andrea, joy.org.au, to find those, and click on Transpositions, and you can also find the link to the Facebook page. Please send us a message throughout the week if you have anything to say or if you have any feedback for me about the show. Tonight has just been all about Megan's experience, her personal experience, so we just want to put it out there that both of us talk from our own experience.
It's from our experience. We're not experts.
We're not experts.
We just go through what we have to go. But, you know, everyone's story is different.
That's right. And, yeah, if you would like to tell us your story, please email us during the week. Jump on the Joy website, joy.org.au. Thank you so much, Megan, for coming in tonight.
Thank you.
And thank you, Chris, on the panel, and for doing the lovely intro. And SJ has done the voiceover for that. Thank you. Thank you, Andrea, for the podcast. We will be speaking to... Thank you, Kelly from Anspath, of course. It was fantastic talking to you. You are on Joy 94.9. Have a great night.
You've been listening to Transpositions. We love your feedback. And if you want to share your own story, email us during the week, transpositions@joy.org.au, or contact us via social media. You'll find all the links at joy.org.au/transpositions. Thank you for listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.